You are a powerful spiritual being. Dr. Wayne Dyer said, once you believe in yourself and see your soul as divine and precious, you'll automatically be converted to being one who can create miracles. What's up, money makers? This is Mahara Tucker on fire on a Monday morning in Atlanta, GA. You're on the Think and Grow Rich call, and our talented founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be along shortly. For now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Good morning, Mahara. Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Mahara.
Hey.
Good morning, Mahara.
Hi, who is that?
This is Terrence in Corinth, Texas.
Hi, Terrence. How are you this morning?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing great, too. Welcome to the call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Kathy in Idaho.
Hi, Kathy. Early. How are things in Idaho?
Great. I just got back from Vegas. Had a fabulous time.
You are a mover and a shaker. Welcome to the call. Who else did I hear stepping out?
It's Lori in Wenatchee.
Hi, Lori. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Rick from California.
Mr. Rick Martin, how are you?
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
So happy you're with us on this call this morning.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Amy in Las Vegas.
Hi, Amy. How are you this morning?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you.
Was that Paul? Who was that stepping out?
Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family and your majesty. A belated happy Mother's Day to all of these.
Good morning, Billy and Philly. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call.
Hey, Mahara.
New York.
Good morning, New York.
Good morning, Mahara. Derek out of New
York. Hi, Derek. Welcome to the call.
Hey.
Good morning, Mahara. Emmanuel from Dallas.
Emmanuel, what's happening?
Hey, Mahara. This is Shirley's going to rock and roll in Albuquerque.
Shirley, I know you're going to rock it out. Welcome to the call.
Yeah.
Morning, Kelly. Yeah. Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. We're glad you're here.
Good morning, Serena in California.
Good morning, Larry Coates, Boston.
Hi, Serena. Hi, Larry Coates. Welcome to the call.
Did you have a great weekend?
Good in California.
Good morning in California.
Everybody.
And yes, I had an amazing weekend.
Good morning from Minnesota.
Good morning, Michael Ann. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call.
Good morning, Mahara. Lisa Scott, New Jersey.
Lisa Scott, you beautiful woman of power. What's happening in your world?
It's a beautiful day.
We're glad you're here.
Good morning, Mary Elizabeth from Virginia.
Hello and good morning. So great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Greg in Minnesota.
Hi, Greg. Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. Lamar from Georgia.
Hey, Lamar. We're glad you're with us this morning.
Glad to be here. Beautiful, beautiful weather today.
Yeah, we're loving it.
Good morning, Mahara. Andre from Jacksonville.
Andre, great to hear from you. We're glad you're on the call.
Hey,
morning. Good for you, too.
Tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Rick from
really? I don't know where they are. I didn't take them off.
Okay.
He's got like a box full of them.
Star 6, after you say your name, but we're going to hear all your private
all right.
conversation.
Figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Dave.
Hey, Dave. What's happening?
Rolling down the road.
Rolling down the road into your future, my friend.
Morning, Mahara.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Vera from California.
Hi, Vera. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara.
Ken from California.
Ken from New Jersey.
Good morning, California. Good morning, New Jersey. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Barry from South Carolina.
Good morning. Welcome.
Kimberly Skinner.
Hi, beautiful Kimberly.
Good morning, Lexi.
Get focused and get excited because you're about to learn something that can change your life, my friend.
Good morning, Mahara. Joe Tyler.
Who is that?
Joe Tyler, how you doing this morning?
Hey, Joe Dollar, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, welcome to the call.
Good morning.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Magnificent Marvelous Monday, May 11, 2015. Another great day to be alive. Another great day to be learning. Another great day to be growing. Another great day to be looking forward into the future and realizing that we truly can be and have and become anything we decide to be, to have, and become within reason. Isn't that a beautiful thought? To know that we can literally chart our own course. We can literally choose our own destination in life and in business. Isn't that just the most astounding thing to think about on this Monday morning? I'll tell you what, for me it is, and I love the fact that we have quite a roadmap to follow as we come together on this Think and Grow Rich call Monday through Friday every morning to study the principles, the laws of success that are designed to help us chart a better course so that we can get to where we're going a little bit smoother, so we can get to where we're going in a little bit faster manner. It's a beautiful thing, and it excites me. And I want to know, is there anyone else out there in Think and Grow Rich land who's excited to learn today? Is there anyone out there in Think and Grow Rich land who's excited through this morning? Is there anyone out there today who is ready for a new insight, a new realization, a new understanding so that you can move forward swiftly into your freedom? And if you are, I want to hear you express that, scream that, shout that into the phone as I unmute the lines right now.
You are powerful. You are
That's right, freedom. I heard someone yelling freedom there. Yes, yes, yes. That's what we're about. We're about freedom. We're about helping each other move into freedom. And actually, hey guys, speaking of freedom, real quick, I'll share this. I was doing a little bit of reading last night, this book. It's actually a pretty cool book. She picked it up in a thrift store, and it's a book about all of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence. And, you know, talking about freedom, gosh, some of those stories, right? Some of these people who their lives and fortunes and just everything, just laid it on the line for freedom. I was talking about two of the guys. One of them was the wealthiest man in the entire country, and he financed most of the war, and he ended up dying bankrupt. He sacrificed all of his wealth and went bankrupt. And there were others. People just sacrifice for freedom. And one of the quotes I'll share with you guys this morning that stuck out to me was from Thomas Jefferson. I was reading a little bit about Thomas Jefferson. And he had this quote that was just like, oh my gosh, I don't want to share it. Thomas Jefferson said, quote, "I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man," close quote, Thomas Jefferson. That guy, I tell you, wow, what a freedom crusader that guy was. In fact, he one of the things that he did in the state of Virginia was he instituted these laws on religious freedom. that basically freed up people from having to profess one belief system or another. And he said, you know, it's not right that people should be restricted from participating in public office. It's not right that people should be restricted from sharing their voices due to believing or not believing in one system of religious faith. And that was one of the things that he most wanted to be remembered for, that he brought that to pass in the state of Virginia, that, and then also that obviously he was the author of the Declaration of Independence. So anyway, just some random thoughts this morning on freedom, because I heard someone yelling freedom into the phone, and you know, that's one of the things that we get really excited about on this call, right, as entrepreneurs and freedom fighters. We come to this call to help each other learn how to generate more freedom. So that's just one thought I wanted to share. Now, let us go ahead and go through our definite major purpose self-confidence formula, sort of a ritual we have on this call. Let me clear the line. Second. One second. Star 6, is there someone out there that has that ready for us this morning?
Hey, Paul, I'm Larry Coates. I'm here to read it.
Take it away, Larry. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. My major definite purpose. By the last day of, I will have in my possession income and a minimum amount of residual monthly income, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In addition to the above, by the last day of, I will have established enough passive capital income to provide of annual passive income. In exchange for this money, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of team leader, life coach, and freedompreneur. I believe that I will have this money in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this money before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service and I intend to render in it for return. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this money, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any worthy desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop endeavoring until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. Amen.
I sure appreciate you, and I believe in you, friend. Hold on a second. Hey, guys, if you believe in Larry, let's go ahead and let him know that we did. perceive that he has the ability to achieve the object of his definite purpose in life, as I unmute the lines real quick right now.
Good job, Larry. We believe in you. You can do it. You can do it.
Right. Awesome, guys. Sure appreciate you. And let me know, I may be having a little bit of trouble with my internet this morning, so if I'm cutting in and out, if someone could just shoot me a text, then I can dial back in on my cell phone. I want to make sure that we have a clear line this morning. We are in Lesson 9 of The Law of Success, 1928 version, by Dr. Napoleon Hill. You can grab this on our website at growrichaudios.com if you are new to the call. And we're just jumping into the habit of doing more than which is one of the laws of success. We've got, let's do a quick recap. We've got definite purpose, deciding on what we want in life, self-confidence, number two, habit of savings, saving money, saving a portion of our income, number three, initiative and leadership, number four, imagination, number five, enthusiasm, number six, self-control, number seven, and now we're jumping into the habit of doing more than paid for, a.k.a. going the extra mile, and super excited about what we're going to learn as we jump into this. But before we jump into it, I got to share a quick little story with you guys, just real fast, something that happened in my life yesterday. I was talking to one of my dear family members, someone that's very, very close to me, and this family member has been stuck in a state of indecision for literally at least a year. She's got this important life choice that she needs to make, and she's been stuck, just like literally not been able to make a decision for over a year. And yesterday I was talking to this family member. My wife and I were talking to this family member, and we were just doing the best we could to share a little bit of insight about how sometimes it's important to just make a decision. And my family member was like, yeah, but I don't want to make the wrong one, and I'm just kind of like waiting for inspiration, and I want to, you know, this is an important life choice. What if I make the wrong decision? And I shared with my family member, I said, you know, there's a quote that I really like, and this quote says, God cannot guide an anchored ship. And it seems like some of my best inspiration comes when I make decisions and move, and I course correct along the way, and I learn from the mistakes, but I'm moving, and it seems like inspiration comes as I'm stepping forward. And it caused me to think of, you know, the book Think and Grow Rich. There's an entire chapter called Decision, the Mastery of Procrastination, and I challenged my my family member to, you know, to read that chapter, because it seems like decision is an important part of finding success and doing what it is that you want in life, and the indecision, as Dr. Napoleon Hill shares in that book, is literally a form of insanity. And I was talking to my family member, I was like, does it feel like you're insane a little bit? Like, you know, you want to go one direction, then you want to go the other, then you want to go the other, then you want to go the other, and you're just like stuck there. She's like, yes, that's exactly what it feels like. So I just did the best I could to help her understand that, you know, it's important to make decisions and move. Another really, really, really important part of finding success. And when we go through that definite purpose that we just went through, that Larry just took us through, you know, that's one of the big decisions that we all want to get to a point where we can make, if we haven't already made it, what do we want out of life, right? What is the decision? What do we want? That's a big decision, deciding what it is that we want and going for it. And I also shared with my family member the book Outwitting the Devil by Dr. Napoleon Hill, where he, you know, he has this imaginary conversation with the devil, with the devil. And the devil's like, you know, what am my greatest tools is causing people to be stuck in a state of indecision all of their lives, never making a choice, just going back and forth, being like a newspaper in the wind. The wind blows left, the newspaper flies left. The wind blows right, the newspaper flies right. He said that's one of my greatest tools. This whole book is about that. And Napoleon Hill's point in the book, or maybe God's point, right, is that decision, deciding what you want, being strong and firm, and then moving forward is a really, really important part of getting ahead in life. So I just wanted to share that because I thought that was just a powerful little lesson that has to do with success and that I had in my life yesterday. So hopefully that was a benefit to somebody. Now, let's go ahead and get into our study, my friends. The habit of going the extra mile, the habit of doing more than paid for. Napoleon Hill starts out with a quote on the opening page. He says, "There are 10 weaknesses against which most of us must guard ourselves. One of these is the habit of trying to reap before we have sown, and the other 9 are all wrapped up in the one practice of creating alibis to cover every mistake made." The Law of Success, Lesson 9, Habit of Doing More Than Paid For. You can do it if you believe you can. It may seem to be a departure from the subject of this lesson to start the lesson with a discussion of love, but if you will reserve your opinion until you have completed the lesson, you may be ready to agree that the subject of love could not have been omitted without impairing the value of the lesson. The word love is here used in an all-embracing sense. There are many objects, motives, and people which arouse one's love nature. There is some work which we do not like, some that we do like moderately, and under certain conditions there may be work that we actually love. Great artists, for example, generally love their work. The day laborer, on the other hand, usually not only dislikes his work, but may actually hate it. Work for which one does merely for the sake of earning a living is seldom liked. More often, it is disliked or even hated. When engaged in work which he loves, a man may labor for an unbelievably long period of hours without becoming fatigued. Work that a man dislikes or hates brings on fatigue very quickly. A man's endurance, therefore, depends very largely on the extent to which he likes or dislikes or loves that which he is doing. We are here laying the foundation, as you will of course observe, for the statement of one of the most important laws of this philosophy. A man is most efficient and will more quickly and easily succeed when engaged in a work that he loves, or work that he performs in behalf of some person whom he loves. Whenever the element of love enters into any task that one performs, the quality of the work becomes immediately improved and the quality increased without a corresponding increase in the fatigue caused by the work. Some years ago, a group of socialists, or perhaps they call themselves cooperators, organized a colony in Louisiana, purchased several hundred acres of farmland, and started to work out an ideal which they believed would give them greater happiness in life and fewer of the worries through a system that provided each person with work at the sort of labor he liked best. Their idea was to pay no wages to anyone. Each person did the work he liked best, or that for which he might be best equipped, and the products of their combined labors became the product of all. They had their own dairy, their own brick-making plant, their own cattle, poultry, etc. They had their own schools and a printing plant through which they published a paper. A Swedish gentleman from Minnesota joined the colony, and at his own request, he was placed at work in the printing plant. Very soon, he complained that he did not like the work, so he was changed and put to work on the farm operating a tractor. 2 days of this was all he could stand, so he again applied for transfer and was assigned to the dairy. He could not get along with the cows, so he was once more changed to the laundry, where he lasted but one day. One by one, he tried every job on the works, but liked none of them. It had begun to look as if he did not fit in with the cooperative idea of living, and he was about to withdraw when someone happened to think of one job he had not yet tried in the brick plant. So he was given a wheelbarrow and put to work in wheeling bricks from the kilns and stacking them in piles in the brickyard. A week's time went by, and no complaint was registered by him. When asked if he liked his job, he replied, "This been just the job I like." Imagine anyone preferring a job wheeling bricks. However, that job suited the Swede's nature. He worked alone at a task which called for no thought and placed upon him no responsibility, which was just what he wanted. He remained at the job until all the bricks had been wheeled out and stacked, then withdrew from the colony because there was no more brickwork to be done. The nice quiet job Ben finished, So I yank, I bend, go back to Minnesota, and back to Minnesota he went. When a man is engaged in work that he loves, it is no hardship for him to do more work and better work than that for which he is paid. And for this very reason, every man owes it to himself to do his best to find the sort of work which he likes best. I have a perfect right to offer this advice to the students of this philosophy for the reason that I have followed it myself without reason to regret having done so. This seems to be an appropriate place to inject a little personal history concerning both the author and the law of success philosophy, the purpose of which is to show that labor performed in a spirit of love for the sake of labor itself never has been and never will be lost. This entire lesson is devoted to the offering of evidence that it really pays to render more service and better service than one is paid to render. What an empty and useless effort this would be if the author had not himself practiced this rule long enough to be able to say just how it works out. For over a quarter of a century, that's 25 years, I have been engaged in the labor of love out of which this philosophy has been developed, and I am perfectly sincere when I repeat that which I have stated elsewhere in this course, that I have been amply paid for my labors by the pleasure I have had as I went along, even if I received nothing more. My labors on this philosophy made it necessary many years ago for me to choose between immediate monetary returns, which I might have enjoyed by directing my efforts along purely commercial lines, and remuneration that comes in later years, and which is represented by both the usual financial standards and other forms of pay, which can be measured only in terms of accumulated knowledge that enables one to enjoy the world about him more keenly. The man who engages in work that he loves best does not always have the support in his choice of his closest friends and relatives. Combating negative suggestions from friends and relatives has required an alarming proportion of my energies during the years that I have been engaged in research work for the purpose of gathering, organizing, classifying, and testing the material which has gone into this course. These personal references are made solely for the purpose of showing the students of this philosophy that seldom, if ever, can one hope to engage in the work one loves best without meeting with obstacles of some nature. Generally, the chief obstacles in the way of one engaging in the sort of work one loves best is that it may not be the work which brings the greatest remuneration at the start. To offset this disadvantage, however, the one who engages in the sort of work which he loves is generally rewarded with two very decided benefits. Namely, first, he usually finds in such work the greatest of all rewards, happiness, which is priceless. And secondly, his actual reward in money, when averaged over a lifetime of effort, is generally much greater. For the reason that labor which is performed in a spirit of love is usually greater in quantity and finer in quality than that which is performed solely for money. The most embarrassing, and I might without any intention of disrespect say, the most disastrous of opposition to my choice of a life work came from my wife. This perhaps will explain why I have made frequent references in many of the lessons of this course to the fact that a man's wife may either make or break him according to the extent to which she gives or withholds cooperation and encouragement in connection with his chosen work. And obviously, that can be flip-flopped, right? Husband may break or make or break a wife in the exact same measure. I'm going to back up. There's a quote on the preceding page. There is no more dangerous person, dangerous to himself and to others, than the person who passes judgment without pretending to know the facts. Continuing on, my wife's idea was that I should accept a salaried position that would ensure a regular monthly income because I had shown, by the few salaried positions I had held, that I had marketable ability, which should command an income from $6,000 to $10,000 a year without any very great effort on my part. In a way, I saw my wife's viewpoint and was in sympathy with it because we had young growing children coming on who needed clothes and education, and a regular salary, even though it were not large, seemed to be a necessity. Despite this logical argument, however, I chose to override my wife's counsel. Came then to her rescue the combined forces of her family and mine, and collectively they charged me head on with what amounted to a command to write about face and settle down on a salary basis. Studying other people might be all right for a man who had the time to spend this unprofitable manner, they reasoned, but for a young married man with a growing family, this seemed hardly the thing to do. But I remained adamant. I had made my choice, and I was determined to stand by it. The opposition did not yield to my viewpoint, but gradually, of course, it melted away. Meanwhile, the knowledge that my choice had worked at least a temporary hardship on my family, combined with the thought that my dearest friends and relatives were not in harmony with me, greatly increased my labors. Fortunately, not all of my friends believed my choice unwise. There were a few friends who not only believed I was following a course that would ultimately bring me out somewhere near the top of the mountain of useful achievement, but in addition to believing in my plans, they actually went out of their way to encourage me not to be whipped by either adversity or the opposition of my relatives. Of this small group of faithful ones who gave me encouragement at a time when it was badly needed, perhaps one man should have the fullest credit, and this man is Edwin C. Barnes, a business associate of Thomas A. Edison. Mr. Barnes became interested in my chosen work nearly 20 years ago, and I owe it to him to state here that had it not been for his unwavering faith in the soundness of the law of success philosophy, I would have yielded to the persuasion of my friends and sought the way of least resistance via the salary route. This would have saved me much grief and an almost endless amount of criticism, but it would have wrecked the hopes of a lifetime. And in the end, I would in all probability have lost also the finest and most desirable things of all, happiness. For I have been extremely happy in my work, even during the periods when the remuneration it brought me could be measured by nothing but a mountain of debts which I could not for the moment pay. Perhaps this may explain to some extent why the subject of slavery through debt was so extensively emphasized in Lesson 4 on the habit of saving. We want that lesson to sink in. Edwin Barnes not only believed in the soundness of the law of success philosophy, but his own financial success had demonstrated, as had also his close business relationship with the greatest inventor on earth, that he had the right to speak with authority on the subject of the laws through which success may be achieved. I began my work of research with the belief that success could be attained by anyone with reasonable intelligence and a real desire to succeed by following certain, then by me unknown, rules of procedure. I wanted to know what these rules were and how they could be applied. Mr. Barnes believed as I did. Moreover, he was in a position to know that the astounding achievements of his business associate, Mr. Edison, came about entirely through the application of some of the principles which later were tested and included as a part of this philosophy. From his way of thinking, it seemed that the accumulation of money, enjoying peace of mind, and finding happiness could be brought about by the application of never-varying laws which anyone might master and apply. That was my belief also. That belief has now been transformed into not merely a provable, but a proved reality. As I hope every student of this course will have reason to understand when the course shall have been mastered. Please keep in mind that during all these years of research, I was not only applying the law covered by this lesson by doing more than paid for, but I was going much further than this by doing work for which I did not, at the time I was doing it, hope ever to receive pay. Thus, out of years of chaos, adversity, and opposition, this philosophy was finally completed and reduced to manuscripts ready for publication. For a time, nothing happened. I was resting on my oars, so to speak, before taking the next step toward placing a philosophy in the hands of people who I had reason to believe would welcome it. Quote, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Close quote. During the earlier years of my experience, I thought these words to be empty and meaningless, but I have since modified my belief considerably. I was invited to deliver an address in Canton, Ohio. My coming had been well advertised, and there was reason to expect that I would have a large audience. To the contrary, conflicting meetings being held by two large groups of businessmen reduced my audience to the lucky number of 13. It has always been my belief that a man should do his best, regardless of how much he receives for his services or the number of people he may be serving or the class of people served. I went at my subject as though the hall were filled. Somehow there arose in me a feeling of resentment on account of the way the wheel of fate had turned against me, and if I ever made a convincing speech, I made it that night. Down deep in my heart, however, I thought I had failed. I did not know until the next day that I was making history the night before that was destined to give the law of success philosophy its first real impetus. And, my friends, I think that's a great place for us to stop. We'll learn the rest of the story tomorrow as we continue our study of the law of success. We'll find out what happened during that speech where there were only 13 present, but despite the fact there were only 13, Dr. Napoleon Hill did his best to deliver what he had inside of him, and maybe something miraculous came out of that experience. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Tell you what, I'm excited to mastermind on what we've learned today so far, and I'm excited to share, to kick off the mastermind just with a couple of thoughts of my own experience. You know, I think Dr. Napoleon Hill is giving us some very, very, very wise advice when he tells us. In fact, he didn't say it in this particular piece, but I remember reading in another piece of Dr. Hill's work, he said the greatest tragedy that exists in life is a man or a woman going through life in a work, engaged in a work that they do not enjoy. I mean, if you can imagine investing your work hours, 40, 50, 60 hours a week sometimes, for your entire life, doing something that you don't enjoy. How tragic is that, right? And Dr. Hill's giving us this great advice. He's saying, hey, you know what? Life is too short to do that. Find a work that you love. Find a work that you can throw your heart and soul into, that you can enjoy, regardless of how much you're going to earn in the beginning, because the happiness that you're going to get is going to pay you far more in the money that you're going to get. And if it's work that you enjoy, eventually your financial remuneration will far surpass the work that you would be engaged in otherwise. And you know what? I've got some experience in this. I started in the home business profession back in 2005, and I saw some things in it that I really loved, some things that appealed to me. The idea of winning my financial freedom. I love the concept of freedom. I love the concept of being free and not having any chains on me, not being bound down by what other people said I had to do, or, you know, tell me to do this, tell me to do that. I didn't want that. I wanted to be free. And so I saw in the home business profession the idea that I could be free. I saw the idea that there could be no limits on my income. The only limits that could be on my income in the home business profession were the limits that maybe I chose not to overcome. Really, the limits would be inside of me. I love that idea. And so I was like, wow, to make a life, living for freedom and teaching people how to be free, there doesn't seem to me to be anything that could be better than that. And then to also be able to teach people how to grow in the process as I'm growing, to be able to increase my income as my communication skills got better, as my people skills got better. Wow, that's incredible, right? To be able to make as much money as you want to make, to have as much freedom as you want to have, and grow in the process. Wow, could there be anything better? So I fell in love with the home business profession back in 2005 when I was living in a single wide trailer house, working a 40-hour a week job, making $11 an hour. This single wide trailer house was parked on my grandfather's property, and I fell in love with the home business profession. And I was like, I got to figure out a way to do this. Why? because I love it. I love it. I love the concepts behind it. I love these principles that are embedded inside it. And so I went to work, and you know what? I didn't get paid for a long time. My first year, I made no money. Then my next 3 or 4 years, I made a little bit. When I say a little bit, we're talking about hundreds of dollars. So I was putting my hand to this plow for a good 5 years because I loved it, and I loved the concepts behind it, and because I love the idea of freedom, and I love the idea of helping people, and I love the idea of growth. I went for 5 years without making hardly any money. And then you know what happened? 5 years in, finally, I hit my goal of making $3,000 a month so that I wouldn't have to worry about having a job. And then as I continue on in the work, as I continued on in the work that I loved, in the work that I still love, I mean, think about it. Being able to talk about freedom every day, being able to inspire people to live their dreams, being able to encourage people to find the work that they love, no matter what the people around them say, because it's worth it, being able to remind people that, hey, this is our life, right? This is our life. We have the ability to choose what we do on a daily basis, and we have the right and the responsibility, I believe, to be happy, like Dr. Napoleon Hill is teaching us, right? It seems like one of the things that in life that's most important, you know, is learning how to be happy, isn't it? Doesn't it seem like that's what we're all seeking? So to be able to, on a daily basis, remind people to go for their dreams, remind people that freedom is worth fighting for, and to be able to just pour your heart into that, man, it's the best thing ever. I hope you can tell that I love what I do, as do many of you do. On this call, we love talking about freedom. We love talking about principles that change lives. We love talking about encouraging people to go for their dreams, have a dream. You know, believe that all things are possible. Don't listen to people around you that are telling you you can't do this, you can't do that. Oh, that's not possible. Oh, just get a normal job and be like everyone else, right? We get to come on this call. We get to encourage people. No. All things are possible. Doesn't it say that in the Bible? Doesn't it say all things are possible to him that believeth? So to be able to make a living doing this, gosh, I love it. And because I stayed with what I love, my income continued to increase. Went from 3 to 5, then to 7, then to 10. Then I remember the first month I hit $17,000 in a month. Then I remember the first month I hit $25,000 and then $27,000 in a month. And I remember the $27,000 month particularly because I remember the one of my tax years preceding that, I made $17,000 in an entire year before that. And then here I am, right, guy from a single-wide trailer house, raised in a single-parent home, and I made $27,000 in a single month? Wow, right? And not a guarantee of income, right? See average earnings disclaimer with whatever company you're working with. But I think my life is also, as Dr. Hill's is an example of when you find what it is that you love and you just go for it and you stay with it and you pour your heart into it and you pour your soul into it and you pour your passion into it. Why? Not necessarily for the money at the time, because in a lot of cases, the money's not there in the beginning. But you pour it in because you love it. And you just tend to go the extra mile because you love it. Things tend to work out, I believe. So, gosh, good stuff, right? Good stuff. I'm excited to hear your thoughts. I'm excited to hear your life experiences. I'm excited to hear your insights. I'm excited to hear your passion for the work that you do. Are you doing something that you love? Share that with us. Let us know your experience so that others can be inspired too. So keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call. Please no mention of company names, system names, leader names, unless the leaders are part of our community. And brevity and relevance always appreciated in your comments. One moment, please. Star 6, who's first? Come on out.
Hey, Shirley Rocks is here.
Hey, Shirley, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I'm doing what I love. Like, back in the 70s, I started becoming a leather worker, you know, became a saddle maker and a bunch of different things, and then got away from it, tried a bunch of different things, and now I've gone back to it. But now I've gone back to it with a full belief in myself, a full passion, knowing this is what I want to do. And because of that dedication and that commitment now and focus, it's happening. I'm starting to get customers. I have items in historical tourist towns here in Albuquerque. I have my business is building. It's starting. I'm overwhelmed with all the detail and the lot, and I'm, you know, scared, and all the insecurities are there. But I have a bigger passion than I've ever had before on making this happen, on knowing now for sure, clear-minded, this is the ultimate thing that I need to do and want to do, and I'm going for it. So anyways, with that said, this call has been the main focus that's keeping me going. You know, I've been on it now for almost 2 years, and it's amazing what's been happening. Anyways, you know, that's just what I want to share.
Huge round of applause for you, Shirley. You do rock, and I love hearing you come out on the call, and I love hearing about you pursuing your passion in life, which is leather work, right? It's totally, you know, a lot different from a lot of us, but it's your passion, and you're doing it. Great job. Thank you so much for that. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Paz Simpson.
Hey, good morning, Paz. How are you, sir?
I'm always so blessed and highly favored. How are you, my brother?
I'm happy now that I get to hear your voice. I'm smiling.
Yes, you said, are we doing what we love? Yes, I wake up every day and I do what I love. I get to express happiness. I get to help people find and define their dreams and understand what success feels like to them. I mean, it's funny because many of the things that you were stating, Paul, is what I do, but I just don't do it from a home business perspective. I know that everyone has a dream. Not everybody wants to be a home-based worker. You know, I tried it, didn't really like it. I tried it for a little while. Some people may want to be a butt washer. You know, if you want to be a butt washer, be the best one in the world. You know, it's a dream for all of us, something that makes us all happy. And my goal is to help people tap into that happy spot, you know, find their ways to clear the cobwebs, find a place to be happy and grateful. And then God has blessed me with a great support system to be able to help them get there, you know, so it's not just me. You know, like I said, I went from just listening to the Napoleon Hill stuff to hanging out with people who hung out with Napoleon Hill. So, you know, and even greater, I get to be at Sharon Lecter's house on Friday, so. It's just amazing how God gives you what you want or what you desire when you actually work for it, like Napoleon Hill said, without no money. And I want to thank Will Rodriguez. I don't know if he's on the call this morning, because he believed in my dream when it seemed so crazy to believe in. And he worked with my dream when it seemed so crazy to believe in. And sometimes he even had to pay for this dream. Because it took some time for the money to start pulling in, you know, and he never doubted. And like Mr. Barnes did for Napoleon Hill, Will did for me. And now we're about to take a crazy journey. So I just thank him and I thank this call. And I tell everyone, smile big and go for it. It's your dream and nobody else can get it but you. Love you guys.
I love it. And imagine, you know, you could say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a happiness engineer is what Pat said. To some people, that could sound crazy, but he's doing it. He's doing it. Pat, you're a great example. Thank you so much. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Hey,
Paul. It's Josh.
Hey, I heard a lady's voice. Who is that?
It might be me. It's Dee.
Is that Dee? Hey, what's up,
hey,
Dee? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone on the call. Wow. You are really awesome to start the morning off with. I love that energy, Paul.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really great. You know, you had said part of the story, just because I know I've read the book, so I don't want to, you know, kind of give it away. But I was listening to you, and I thought to myself, wow, you know, this is a concept that I wish more people could understand, because as you explained earlier, you know, everything else, especially monetarily, it all fits into place. You shared a little story. So if we have about 3 minutes, do you mind if I share?
Yeah, please do.
All right. So as you, some of you may know, I'm the wife to a gentleman called Justin Varengian, known as like the hippie Jedi, right? He's a Jedi. And he really is. Like, he has lightsabers that he paid like $1,000 for, and they actually work, so it's kind of crazy. And, you know, I lost my passion for the industry, and maybe some of you can understand this. You know, I am a very empathetic person, and so working with people every single day, hearing their goals, you know, doing what I can to help them get there. And, you know, sometimes it wouldn't happen. They wouldn't reach their goals. And there are some people who approach this industry and they're like, oh, well, only 98% of people succeed. And I think it's just hogwash. I believe that everybody has the capability to succeed, especially if they don't quit. So it tore me down. And then here's what leads to Paul's point, because he mentioned, you know, when you're doing something you're passionate about, something you love, you're not working. And so I don't know if you've ever experienced this. Maybe you're building your business. I know that some of you are in, you know, different businesses and opportunities online, and that's awesome. I love online franchises because it allows us to work from home and my daughter to run around in her diaper like she's doing now. And so I was looking and building, and I just kept focusing on, you know, why aren't these people succeeding? And it was crushing my heart. To the point where I became, and I've never shared this publicly, but I became depressed. I did not want anything to do with the industry. You couldn't talk to me in a room about it. You know, that's just how, like, turned against that I was. Fast forward, and something started happening to me where instead of focusing on, you know, the monetary goal that my clients and customers wanted, I started focusing on their passion. You know, so the woman who shared earlier, she has a passion for leather making. I think it's freaking awesome. One of the things that my mom loves to do when she travels internationally is buy something handmade. Most of these handmade items are leather, and they're not cheap. So I can completely understand the passion, but also the financial gain behind it. So I started focusing on, you know, helping people attain their goals. What are you passionate about? Let's help you turn that passion into, and let's help you monetize your passion. And little by little, you know, people were making money here and there. They were able to monetize their passions. But all of a sudden, I started realizing that, you know, when I was stepping back from my business, let's say that I had mentored 10 people that week, okay? This is just like a random number I pulled out from the sky just to share with an example of you. So let's say I mentored 10 people that week. All of a sudden, instead of getting, you know, 8 emails back from people who are like, D, I'm so depressed, I'm not making any money, I can't figure out this business, can you help me? All of a sudden, I was receiving emails from people, and mind you, they weren't, you know, talking about, hey, I'm now a millionaire, thanks for helping me buy the new Benz, but they were actually having substantial changes within their life. So little things like being able to earn enough money to go out and take their child out of daycare or out of preschool so that the child could stay home with them for an extra year. Little things like just being able to pay, you know, your rent, but paying it a week early is that sense of freedom for the next month, you know? And I was seeing people have these results left and right, and I thought to myself, wait a minute, what am I doing differently? Am I teaching them some new magic skill to help them attain the riches? No. Did I give them a secret amulet that will help them unlock their Jedi powers? No. Did I let them rub my husband's long hair? No. The only thing that changed was my passion. I started focusing on what I was passionate about. So that's what I would like to leave you with this morning. If you have something you're passionate about, why don't you monetize what you're passionate about? Instead of focusing on the business, instead of focusing on X amount of dollars, focus on what you already love and the money will come. Thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate you.
D, you're always powerful. Love you. Ladies and gentlemen, million-dollar-plus earner right there, just in case you didn't know, not a guarantee of income. See, average earnings disclaimer with whatever company you're working with, but powerful stuff. D, thank you so much. I heard Josh Bayless coming out. Josh Bayless, I'm sorry. Bayless. Josh, you there?
Yeah, Paul, I think I heard Kimberly Skinner come out before me, actually.
Okay. All right.
Kimberly,
you there?
If you're there, go first.
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi. Good morning.
Yes. Okay, I'm back.
Hey, I'm so grateful to be here, and it is really, really fun to have home business royalty in the house. I love you and appreciate you, Dee, so much. And all of you on the call, I know that everybody is moving forward at their own pace, and the whole purpose for coming to this call is to absorb of the power of the collective and kind of harness that in a forward motion kind of way. I know that that's one of the huge benefits that we gain from this call, and it's just a privilege to hear the success of applying these principles in our lives in a big picture kind of way, and how it really does have ripple effects out into the people around us and our teams that we're striving to help have some new experiences and new levels to the success that they've defined for themselves, and have that appear in their present reality daily, as opposed to having it be out on a vision board somewhere and never quite manifesting itself in their day-to-day experience. That is one of the moments that I just live for, and what makes me, as we like to bandy about in home business, psychologically unemployable. I mean, the principle of going the extra mile has actually, in the job setting, bitten me in the behind many, many, many times. I've had employers say to me, nobody asked you to do that. Whatever, you know, I'd come up with a solution for a problem they didn't even know they had in many cases. And so it's just kind of a funny little sort of the opposite of a benefit, a detriment that some of these success principles that make entrepreneurs successful in their own businesses can have a little bit of a backlash in a construct where you're relegated to operating in somebody else's modality. And this is why, you know, we retreat from that constraint and we strive towards freedom, so that we can be free to express our unique contribution to the world. And I think this has really become a big theme in this call, that we have something to give. We individually and specifically have something important to contribute to the world as a whole. And when we maximize that, when we focus on that, when we give our time and our energy and our effort and our persistence and our dedication and commitment to that unique contribution, it blossoms into something so unbelievably attractive that people are drawn to us. They come to us to say, how can I have this experience that you're having in life? You're not having an experience of the mundane, the day-to-day, the drudgery. I don't see that in you at all. I see light and joy and expansiveness and abundance and wealth and all kinds of positive, joy-infused experience every single day. How can I reproduce that in my life? And when you have, persisted in this pursuit, then you have the answer to that question. You can say, this is in my experience what has worked for me, and what I do know from having helped other people apply these principles, if you apply them in your life, you will get these good results. It's really simple math. It breaks down to something that's not all that mystical. It's like kind of a simple equation, you know, and we can, you know, complicate it and dress it up all we want, but that's really kind of just a big waste of time. If you're going to pursue what you're inspired to do on a core level and get really aligned with those principles, that's when you begin to get that horsepower that buoys you forward with energy, enthusiasm, and joy. So that's what came up for me in the material.
Awesome. Kimberly, love the life that beams through your voice when you... Okay, Josh, let me clear the line for you real quick. Kent? Josh Bayless, come on out, sir.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. Hey, talk about somebody who really gives more than what she's paid for. I would definitely say that Kimberly Skinner
definitely does that. I mean, she is really active in the Facebook group, on her team, and I'm just really I'm noticing that, and I really like that. And I think it's really I think maybe it's appropriate, since yesterday was Mother's Day, to kind of give a shout out to all the mothers out there that are listening, because mothers just do that naturally. You know, they naturally give more than what they're paid to give, right? And I just appreciate all of you. And I mean, I know if my twin boys, if their mother was here right now, you know, they probably wouldn't be eating chocolate cake this morning for breakfast. But I got my wife a cake yesterday, and so I thought, well, it looks like I'm going to feed the boys some chocolate cake this morning for breakfast. But anyway, I got a couple stories that I'll say real quick. First one is, you know, when I was I remember, you know, kindergarten, first grade, after lunch, all the kids would go outside for recess. And instead of doing that, I would stay in the lunchroom and help the lunch ladies clean up all the mess that all of us kids made. And I never got any pay for that, but it was about, oh, towards the end of the year, they came up with this, like, I guess, prize for kids who helped out. Because after I started doing it, there was a couple of other kids that also, you know, would do it. But I remember the principal taking me out to eat at Shoney's for lunch, as I think it was as an appreciation. I wasn't really clear why, but I thought, man, I'm like the luckiest kid in the world. And then the other story is I recently started blogging about what I'm really passionate about, and it's really filled something in my heart. You know, before I was passionate, or before I was blogging about stuff that I thought I needed to blog about, stuff like internet marketing and making money online and stuff like that. And I still do blog about stuff like that because I am learning that stuff, and I really believe that it's good to blog about and share the knowledge that you gain. But what I'm truly passionate about is, you know, helping men become better husbands, fathers, and friends. And ever since I started doing that, I mean, I haven't figured out a way to monetize that, but I have started touching people's lives, and I have gotten people contacting me and telling me that, you know, they appreciate what I'm doing and stuff like that. So I know that I'm on the right path, and I know that this is a need for people, and I'm going to continue doing it because it's what I love, and I think it's what I'm meant to do. And I think that's all I got, Paul. I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you, bud.
Such awesome thoughts, Josh. You know, the good news is that better fathers, husbands, and friends all need a way to make a living and be free, right? So you will monetize that, I promise. Keep it up, man. Keep it up. We got a short one. We got 1 minute left. Anyone out there with a fast comment? Well, if you're not quick on the draw on this call, you lose your opportunity. Love you guys. Hey, thanks for being here. Guys, do what you love. Do what you're passionate about. Find out, you know, what do you want to spend your life doing that can bring you joy, and do it. Just do it. Life is too short to live on. from sunup to sundown if possible, and making the right decision as to what we do for a living is going to have a huge impact on our happiness all throughout life. So I love you guys. Thanks for being here. I believe in you. Get out there, make it an awesome day. Be happy, and we'll see you all back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now.
You guys are passionate about what you're doing. Thank you, Dee.